The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover fest came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will be my servant. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." He said this indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord. I'm told by people that this coming week, the season of spring begins. And I know we all have our fingers crossed. And I know some of you have already gotten your seed catalogs, you're planning your gardens, what you're going to put in there, what kind of crops and flowers. Well, let's hope that things start to turn out more seasonal once spring begins. But I say that in the context of our gospel reading, where Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat that falls into the ground dies, it will not produce any fruit. So what is he saying? He's actually giving an image, so to speak, of what's going to happen to him through his death, going into the ground, being buried, but coming out again, resurrecting. Great new life will happen as a result of that. So he's using an agricultural image to help us think about what is going to happen over the next 2 weeks. What are the great feasts that we are going to celebrate over the next 2 weeks? And we know we will be celebrating Passion Sunday next week, Palm Sunday. We will celebrate Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter. So we're going to be going into that most holy time of the church year to celebrate the most important feast of the church year, which are all about dying and rising to new life. And because of that death and that rising, great things happen. New life happens. Heaven is unlocked, and the many, many graces and gifts of heaven are just showered upon the apostles and us too, who are sitting here today. But we go back to that parable that Jesus tells, unless a grain of wheat dies, it will not bear good fruit. So how are we called to die so that we can bear good fruit? Well, obviously we need to die to ourselves, to our willfulness, to what we want to do. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said to the Father, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." And that will included suffering and death. Now, it's not that God wanted his dearly beloved son to suffer and die, but he knew that by sending him into this situation, this historical situation, and by preaching the will of God, there would be people who would push back, who would kill him because they did not want to do the will of the Father. We see that throughout the Old Testament. We've read about Moses. Moses again and again and again led the people to various places, gave them water, gave them food, but they were not content. They kept complaining against the Lord. Why? Because they wanted their will done, not God's will. They were not willing to persevere, to be obedient, to do what they were told to do. Now, are we like that? Yeah, we're like that too. We get into situations that we don't like, and we pray, God, why should I be here? Why are you doing this? So forth and so on. And it doesn't mean that it's not a very difficult situation. But if we can take it to prayer, if we can read the scriptures, and the scriptures are so good about it, they tell us again and again, here is God's will. Yes, it is difficult. It can be very, very painful, full of suffering. But if we keep reading, we are told again and again and again that God is with us in our journey. He is above us. He is below us. He is before us. He is behind us. He is to the side of us. So even though we may feel bereft of the presence of God, He's there so that we can do what we are called to do as His disciples, to die to ourselves, to our willfulness, so that we can bear good fruit. And again, Jesus, as always, is the perfect model of this. He came not to lord it over us, to be a earthly king, but rather He came, as He said, to be a slave. He came to be a slave to you and me. So that's a lot of suffering there. Slaves are totally at the mercy of their masters and must be obedient. So must we. And it may be people who hate us. We still must love them. We still must serve them. People who want to destroy what we believe in, we still must serve them and love them. That's the Christian way. That is the way of Jesus Christ, which, as I say, is going to be played out over the next 2 weeks. And one scene, I would say, in particular to pay attention to is when Jesus takes a few of the apostles down to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, they had to go from way up in Jerusalem down a staircase, which is still there, to the Kidron Valley where there was an olive grove. And horticulturists believe that those olives that are growing there today were there 2,000 years ago. They're just huge, huge trunks. But to pay attention to that particular scene, and we pray it in the rosary. It's one of the mysteries of the rosary. What did Jesus go through? He went through agony. He was worried, anxious, suffering. And yet, he said, Lord, your will be done, not mine. So we, through baptism and the sacraments, have been prepared, have been built up, have been empowered to say yes to the will of God and no to ourselves. So not to love our life as an idol, it's all about me, but rather to hate my life in the sense of I'm not going to let it get in my way of doing the will of God, because that's what God calls us to do. So Jesus, again, is the perfect example, and again, I encourage you, read Scripture. You will see again and again. If you read Isaiah, you'll see all these parts that you'll be saying, oh, that's about Jesus. That's about Jesus, what He was like. But not just about Jesus, about what we are called to be like as well. It really is a blueprint for us Christians when we read Scriptures and we see that we are called to be, as Jesus was, a suffering servant. Not just a servant, but a suffering servant, so that we can serve our brothers and sisters. So Jesus makes it very clear, if we want to live for all eternity, we got to die. We got to die. Just like that seed that goes into the ground and bears much fruit, we are called to die to ourselves, to rise with Christ. We're not going to just stay in the ground, but we're going to rise and grow as Christ rose and grew so that we can provide great things for other people. We can produce fruit. So in each of our lives, we come upon situations that may not be comfortable or challenging, but if we go back to scriptures, if we go back to the teachings of the church, if we look at Jesus, hopefully we will see how it fits. May not fit tightly or comfortably, but it fits. Because we too, as the opening song said, have to carry our cross. Just as Jesus was put up on a cross, lifted up on a cross, and he drew all people to himself, so too we must be lifted up through our suffering and hopefully draw other people to Jesus Christ through our discipleship. So in the last couple of weeks of Lent, I invite you to again look at where you are in your Lenten journey. What have you done? What have you not done? At the very least, have you taken some time to read the scriptures? Any scripture, just go to any book of the Old or New Testament and read. Have you studied some of the teachings of the church on this? A good spiritual book that may help break open what this season of Lent and the following season of Easter is all about. Those teaching guides are there so that we can grow in our faith. And of course, right now as we celebrate the Eucharist, Jesus is here fully and completely, powerfully and intimately, giving us many gifts, strengthening us, building us up, making us into living tabernacles, so that when we go out those doors, we can fulfill the command of God. It's not my power that does it, but it's God's gift to me and in me that allows me to fulfill the command of God to go forth, proclaim the gospel, and baptize in the name of Jesus. So that's for all of us. So again, where are we in our Lenten journey? What might we want to do in these next couple of weeks? What would we like to learn more about in terms of suffering and death in our own lives, what that looks like? And take it to the Lord in prayer. And then share it with others, because others are also going through many, many challenges and temptations, and they need the light of Christ in their lives, just as we need the light of Christ in our lives, so that we know where we're going and how we're called to do it and how Jesus is always there guiding us into the way of peace, which leads to heaven.